Early this month, Milwaukee police and prosecutors narrowly prevented the murder of a key witness in a homicide case, with the crime allegedly plotted by the murder suspect himself while behind bars, working with accomplices outside of jail.
It's just one example of an ongoing problem with witness intimidation in Milwaukee, with key witnesses in criminal cases subject to threats, bribery, and violence, often in cases related to homicide or domestic violence. Police and prosecutors kicked off a new effort to protect those witnesses after the high-profile murder of a witness in 2007.
John Diedrich joins us now. He's been reporting on this issue for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. John, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
How big a problem is witness intimidation there in Milwaukee?
Well, it's a major problem. You alluded to this case, the Pulley case in 2007. This individual was shot himself, and he was cooperating. He was a victim witness cooperating in the prosecution of the individual who shot him. That individual offered him money, increasingly more money, or through surrogates. And ultimately, Mr. Pulley continued to persist in his desire to testify, and then he ultimately was murdered, shot a second time, this time fatally. And when that happened, John Chisholm, the county board and other official state officials as well, gathered together and said, you know, this issue has to be taken on. This has to be more thoroughly investigated, more aggressively investigated. And the problem hasn't gone away, but prosecution has certainly stepped way up here in Milwaukee County.
What did police and prosecutors do after 2007, after that death of Maurice Pulley Jr., to try to make sure they could protect witnesses?
Well, what they do is they look at cases where they have a good idea that intimidation may be a factor. You alluded to domestic violence, and the nature of domestic violence is intimidation really in the original offense. So it turns out that that's a prime target where intimidation may happen after the initial offense. There's a saying in court that says no face, no case. And so if you can keep the witness out of court or intimidated, the charges may go away. So that was one area that they really focused on. And they beefed up the number of investigators there. But then they also started looking at cases, high-profile cases, where individuals had a lot riding on the line in terms of shooting cases or other cases where long prison sentences were possibly waiting. And they started to look for different patterns, individuals who've been through the system before, who've been able to, where cases were dismissed because witnesses failed to show at key moments and so forth. And they started to develop a protocol in which they could try to figure out how which cases would be most likely. And their biggest tool that they use is monitoring jail calls and figuring out different ways that they can, also working with the investigators, but trying to figure out where witness intimidation may happen and aggressively investigated.
And then when they think that there may be witness intimidation, a possible threat against a witness, are there ways to protect them, to remove them from, at least to as much as possible, remove them from risk?
Well, there is that aspect. It's interesting, prior to this effort, that was exclusively the witness protection program, in that individuals were moved to hotels or different places to protect them from immediate risk. And that effort still continues. The problem with that effort alone was that it really didn't hold the offenders accountable for their actions. So ultimately it was an expensive effort that did protect individuals, but it did nothing to hold the cases accountable. And also the cases sort of blew up after a while, because even if you protected them, at some point witnesses might disappear. But that protection effort continues, but now it's coupled with aggressive investigation by the investigators with the district attorney's office in Milwaukee County.
Talking to John Diedrich, reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, about a piece he wrote on witness intimidation in Milwaukee and efforts to protect key witnesses in criminal cases, often, as he says, in cases of shootings or domestic violence. Now, I started this off, John, talking about this attempt to kill a witness, a conspiracy, in effect, to kill a witness that fell apart earlier this month, in part thanks to the efforts you've been describing. It's a crazy story, could have been in movies almost. Can you talk us through this story?
Yeah, it is quite a remarkable story. So the story starts over summer. There's an individual, Eddie Powell, who is killed in a shooting. An individual is charged in that shooting, and he is he's charged and detained immediately, Anthony Smith. And shortly after that shooting, one of the witnesses to that shooting, 8 days later, is killed, is shot and killed. That shooting remains unsolved at this point. But what happens after that is that there's a second witness to this shooting, John Spivey. John Spivey is in jail on a different case. And what happens is Smith, Anthony Smith, who's charged with the original homicide, conspires allegedly with three other individuals to get to Spivey, to bail him out of jail, pay his bail, and they're waiting outside the jail with the intention of grabbing him and taking him to, as the district attorney, presumably for great bodily harm or death. And this plot is discovered prior to his release, and the district attorney investigators sort of swoop him up, move him to a secure location, and then really turn the table on the individuals who are plotting this particular act of violence.
So now, in addition to the original alleged perpetrator of the shooting, now there are cases against the three people conspiring with him to remove, to kill this witness in his case.
That's right, and that's the way these things are sort of unfolding. And as the investigators and as the district attorney, John Chisholm, explained, really what witness intimidation represents is the continuation of the investigation. So, you know, sort of in the older way of thinking, it was you brought the charges and then that was sort of the stop. And really this is keeping up with the defendants who are seeing that, you know, eliminating witnesses, so that will be the sort of key. And so the way the system is responding is, all right, there's going to be new cases, additional cases that may come. It's the continuation of that. So in this case, Smith has a new charge, but now there's three more individuals who are alleged to be conspiring to commit first-degree intentional homicide.
Is there a hope that this effort to crack down on witness intimidation will help deter it, will help people say, hey, sorry, you're in jail, we're not going to help you try to silence the witnesses?
Well, I mean, that's the hope. You know, my reporting reveals that there's a whole lot of witness intimidation going on, and this isn't just in Milwaukee. I'm hearing from folks around the state and in other cities, certainly. But it's brazen in the courthouse. It doesn't appear to be abating. I mean, at this point in the galleries, you know, you have individuals who are, you know, obviously defying court orders and they're being removed, but they're acting very defiant toward you know, armed sheriff's deputies. You have them you know, making comments, you know, muttering expletives as prosecutors come and go from court. You know, I was talking to a prosecutor who said that it's really almost in every single case that they're dealing with. Another prosecutor said it's really you know, out of control. Now that said, what they think this effort is doing is, number one, their number one goal is to prevent these cases from getting blown up, to basically save them from being undercut, because this is really what the basis of the criminal justice system is about, that, you know, that there be a fair trial and that witnesses not be intimidated, they feel free and open to come to court. So they're trying to protect the cases. And, you know, I guess their sense is that, you know, they hope over time that this message, you know, will get out, though just looking at the number of cases that they continue to bring. I mean, in 2009, we were looking at 147 cases, and this year we're going to be over 400 cases of just witness intimidation, and the numbers just continue to go up. So I think their hope is that the message will get out, but it does not. The tide has not been stemmed at this point.
That being the case, though, you quote someone from a police department elsewhere in the country saying people are starting to look at what they're doing in Milwaukee as a model for trying to tackle the problem of witness intimidation.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So it's this interesting story where the problem really is, according to the folks in the system, out of control, but the efforts here are a national leader. So both of those things can be true. And what that indicates is that what Milwaukee's doing is, again, this continuation of the criminal investigation, really creating a second case that goes on top of the first case. And that is, according to folks out there, experts who are saying this is really one of the features of law enforcement, because it holds an individual accountable through the judicial system and helps keep the integrity in it. But what's happening, according to folks out there, is that there's really a whole lot of this problem in cities across the country where they haven't caught up to the necessity to really address this witness intimidation head on with an aggressive effort that tries to get ahead using, you know, sophisticated techniques to try to predict when jail calls might be made that, you know, that could have incriminating information on social media postings that could include intimidation, all sorts of manners of ways that intimidation is communicated. And I suspect we're going to see those efforts step up in other places, looking to Milwaukee as a possible model.
Briefly, as we wrap up, John, are prosecutors saying, yeah, there's still work to do, but we have cases where we've successfully prosecuted guilty individuals because of our efforts to protect these witnesses?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the sense of success that they have is that this is absolutely protecting cases. We're seeing a big bounce in the number of domestic violence cases, holding those offenders accountable. No, they feel like they really are bringing justice to these cases and protecting the integrity of these cases and protecting their witnesses, and they hope sending a message. But the numbers continue to go up, and we'll see in the long term how effective their efforts are.
John, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's John Diedrich, reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where he covers crime and other issues, talking about his recent coverage of witness intimidation.